Hello, yes. Okay, I hope this is working then. Okay, everyone, then welcome to IMT 3292 System Administration. This pre-recorded first lecture and I will spend some time going over the front room. There will only be a brief lecture, especially for those of you who are not able to be here on the first session. So everything is in the front room, and I will open this here in a separate page so you will see it a little bit better. This course is a practical course, so you really have to bring your laptop to every session. I'm Erik Hjelmås, in case you haven't met me before. I am easily reachable by email usually, or by SMS to this phone number. My office is in A117. I work from home in the morning, usually every day, and I am in my office between 8:30 and 2:30 every day. I work more than that, but I do that usually from home. So if you're welcome to come and see me in my office every day. And if you're wondering where I am, just go and see my schedule on Heaven. You will find me somewhere here. So you can go and see where I am. Usually the best view the weekly view. Yeah, they have a new layout here, I now see. Yes, yeah, so here you'll see that I'm lecturing on Monday from 12 o'clock, and I have some things happening later next week. So we have 6 hours scheduled every Monday. Notice that we start now on Monday at 12:15 in room 8A255. This room is also known as TEL, Technology Enhanced Learning Lab. Unfortunately, we don't have access to this room for all our lectures. We have it for 6 hours on Monday from 12 to 6, but it's only this Monday that we will be there 12 to 6. You see that next week our ordinary schedule is from 8 in the morning till 3. I thought it was until 2, but yeah. Okay, yes. We start at 8 o'clock in the morning and we round off at 2. And starting from the second week, you see that we are in the neighboring room, A254. For the first 4 hours, and then we are okay. Next that week, we are actually in B213 for the last 2 hours. This will be, and then we are on the ordinary schedule, which is A254 for the first 3 hours. Then in the Technology Enhanced Learning Lab, A255 from 11 to 2. So from 8 o'clock till 2 o'clock every Monday. That is our schedule. You will see that then this repeats the same every week till the end of the semester. Yes. Okay, so the schedule for the course is here. This table is really important, and you should study this carefully. the most important characteristic about this course is that I plan to not do any teaching. So system administration is a practical course. You learn from practical work. I have used to teach between 20 and 40 hours or something. But you don't learn anything from me lecturing about a practical topic. So this year, I will only lecture on demand, meaning the 6 hours we spend together every Monday, we will only do practical work. I will do an introduction, and I will lecture on any topic that you want me to lecture on. And whenever I see that you have common issues that we need to resolve, I'll take 10 minutes, 15 minutes and lecture on that and show you how things work. But there will be no fixed lecture. So you should spend these 6 hours every Monday. My plan is to spend all those 6 hours helping you with practical work. And you will only learn this course by doing practical work. That doesn't mean that there are no lectures or no readings. That's where this table comes into the picture. So instead of me lecturing on these specialized topics, I've spent a lot of time finding the best online lectures for the topics we're going to cover. So instead of hearing things from me, I should instead supervise you in your work, and you should hear the lectures from the experts on the topics. So in this rightmost column, you see there are recommended videos. These are the lectures. You should study, you should watch these lectures before every Monday. So ideally, before we meet for the first time, you should see this 27 minutes lecture on the command line basics of OpenStack. I don't expect you to do that, because probably you will hear this on Monday when we meet, so don't worry about that. And the reading material is here. So this column here is what you have to read. These are the lectures that you have to watch. If there is a parenthesis around the lecture or around the reading, like these four items here, they have parentheses around them, and this lecture is a parenthesis around them, then you don't have to consider that as mandatory. Those are probably good resources. I recommend that you watch it, but it's not mandatory. So, but the ones that are not parentheses around, you should study carefully. So these are the weeks. We have first lecture, week 34, and then we have about, let's see, that's 11 weeks, or sorry, there are no lectures, 11 weeks of ordinary work, and then we have 3 weeks of project work, and then they have presentation and summary. Those are the 15 weeks. So these are the topics that we will cover. And then I've included a column of the tools and the technology we will use to learn these topics. I have redesigned much of this course during the summer. What we will learn is pretty much the same as we have learned previous years in this course, but we will do it in a slightly different manner, as I mentioned. So, so what I was going to say was that this is this schedule is not completely fixed yet. I have some work left to do to develop all the material. The first 4 weeks are ready. So what you see here from week 34, 35, 36, 37, this material is, you can consider that this is will is fixed. The rest of the course I will prepare before we leave week 37. So if you go to the course description, you will see that that this course, let's see, we can go to the English version. The most important part about the course description is that you know that how you will get your grade. So you see there's an overall evaluation based on a 100-point scale, where midterm exam counts 33 points, project work counts 34 points, and final exam counts 33 points. In other words, there's a midterm exam. So in week 41, there will be a two-hour exam. The exam has no aids. It's a paper exam with approximately 10 to 15 questions, which you answer in 2 hours. And it's the same setup on the final exam. It's a two-hour exam with 10 to 15 questions. And these two exams, they count each for one-third of the grade. And the final one-third of the grade is the project work you're going to do here. I will, before week, or by the end of week 37, you will get a set of sample questions for what the exam will look like, what the exams will look like. And you will get several questions, that so I will tell you much more about how the exam will work. Yeah. Okay, so that's the setup of the course. The course is practical work. And I don't mean to scare anyone away from this course, but if you are considering taking this course as easy extra credits by just showing up on Mondays and being there for whatever I lecture and showing up for the exams, I suggest that you don't. Because, as I mentioned, I will not lecture. I will require that you do a lot of work. You have to do a lot of work, because we are will be moving quite quickly into advanced topics. So these first, especially the first 4 or 5 weeks, will be very busy for you. But then we will reiterate on the same workflow that we're going to learn on the next few weeks as well. Yes. So, why have I done this, moving this course into an entire practical work course? Well, it's because I want you to learn the real workflow of a system administrator, an up-to-date, modern system administrator. So, classical system administration, and a little bit the way I used to teach this course several years ago, is that we learn a little bit about the different technologies that you need to know. You learn how to configure a DNS server, you learn how to configure email, you learn how to install and do the basics of a configuration management system, and you learn a little bit about how you do version control and manage this. Well, I've tried to adapt this course into the modern DevOps movement, where we need to focus much more strongly on provisioning, orchestration, and configuration management. So it's much, much more about scale today than it used to be. We need to be able to deploy infrastructures quickly. We need to be able to control and monitor them using modern tools. So what we will use is, we're going to use our OpenStack cloud, So the first week we will spend learning how to launch virtual machines, creating networks and routers, security groups and volumes, etc., using a command line environment in OpenStack. And also, I expect you to, if you're not comfortable with the Linux or Windows command line interfaces, then you should spend some time on that. If you need help finding resources on how to learn Linux and Windows command line interface, for Windows command line interface, you need to know PowerShell. And if you did not take my course on operating systems, where we had PowerShell, then let me know, and I can make that material available for you. I'll try to remember to make that material available anyway. So you have some material to get you going with PowerShell. We're not Linux and Windows command line interface is not a separate topic in this course. It's something I assume that you know how to use. And if you don't know how to use it, you have to work a little bit extra hard in the beginning to be comfortable with that. So the first week is to get going, learn the OpenStack interface. So OpenStack, using OpenStack is one of the key tools we're going to use, and some of the technology we will use. But you know, OpenStack is quite easy to use. And you just, that's why I said the only resource you need here is the OpenStack end user guide. But the good thing is that then you really know how to use a cloud. And why do we use OpenStack? Well, because OpenStack is becoming the de facto standard cloud solution, the open source standard cloud solution. Yes, you have Microsoft Azure, you have Amazon, you have Google Compute Engine, etc. But then you have IBM Bluemix, which is OpenStack. You have HP Helium, which is OpenStack. You have the Rackspace, which is OpenStack. And several institutions are moving to OpenStack, and it's sort of become the biggest open source cloud solution. And I think it's a good technology to use and learn how to use. So, but when you're going to deploy complex scenarios, that is, when you come networks with routers and several different kinds of virtual machine instances, etc., you want a language that describes these scenarios so you can treat them as an entire infrastructure instead of doing your own scripting and treating each an individual virtual machine. And this language is called OpenStack Heat. This is what we'll learn in the second week, how we deploy an infrastructure with OpenStack Heat, before we move on to the big topic of the course and sort of the really key thing to learn in this course, and that is doing configuration management with Puppet. So you see that Puppet, we start with Puppet in the third week, and we will be using that for the rest of the course. And here we have 3 weeks to actually 4 weeks that we're going to spend starting with learning the basics of Puppet. And then within 4 weeks, you should be a professional system administrator, being able to use Puppet in the proper workflow. So we're going to move rather quickly, so we know how to integrate. You see, this week here is the key week of the course. This is where you will learn how to use Puppet to do configuration management with the best practice of today, including linking Puppet into different kinds of environments, having separate development and testing and production environments, and gluing this together using Git and version control and branches and all these things. So this week is called Infrastructure as Code. which is the future name of this course. This course will next year be called Infrastructure as Code. In Norwegian, it will be called Programmerbar Infrastruktur. Because this is what's happening. Instead of we learning all the details of a whole bunch of different systems, we do, as all computer scientists do, we abstract up one level, and then instead we use one language to control everything. And that's what we will try to do. We will try to. We have chosen Puppet, because Puppet is, you have several different alternatives there as well. I of course have to mention the really excellent Norwegian alternative, CF Engine, which we used to use in this course for quite many years. But there is unfortunately a situation that the Puppet is more widely used than CF Engine today, which I say unfortunately, because my heart is a little bit with the CF Engine. CF Engine is a really wonderful system, but there are some advantages to Puppet, which is the reason why we use it here. So we're going to follow much of the same principles and philosophies as when you develop software, and learn how to use that to control and manage infrastructures. Thereby, this course being very close to the DevOps movement. Yes, and then when we have used Puppet and enforced this work pattern, workflow that we will learn, then the last 3 weeks we will do much more Windows, still using Puppet, but then we will introduce the final part, the final section of the PowerShell saga, which is PowerShell desired state configuration. PowerShell desired state configuration is really nice, especially if you know PowerShell, because it's basically Puppet for Windows, but implemented in PowerShell. So when we know Puppet, then it's quite easy to move into PowerShell desired state configuration, which is a way of it's basically a way of turning all our PowerShell scripts into idempotent operations. Meaning you can redo your scripts again and again, and it will always be idempotent. It will, if you're in the proper configured state, you will remain in the proper configured state. It will not complain, because many typical imperative scripts, you can only run them once. If you run them again, you get errors. If it's an idempotent configuration script, you can basically run it again and again, and if there's something wrong, it will fix it. If it's not something wrong, it will just stay correct, which is one of the key things of both Puppet and desired state configuration in PowerShell. Okay, so the final exam is on December 3rd. Yeah. So that's a little bit about the course. So what we will do for the first 4 weeks. So if you're wondering where to start, it's this document here. Here it says accessing the virtual lab. What the first week is to get started. We're going to use an OpenStack environment, our own cloud, which is called Sky-High. Some of you have used that before. So in this document, so if you're outside HIG, you have to connect using VPN, probably. When you need to access Windows machines, I have mentioned something out here. So the first part here is something about accessing the lab and about the virtual machines. When you launch a Windows machine, you will see that probably you won't get a cursor on the monitor, or a cursor when you access it. Then you have a trick for fixing this here. So the exercises are here. This is where you start. The first week, on Monday, I will talk for about half an hour. The same thing, I'm going to say the exact same thing I'm telling you now, if you're listening to this lecture before Monday. Then I say you are expected to solve this exercise using the OpenStack command line clients. And you have the user guide here. This is the same document that is linked here, OpenStack End User Guide. connect to skyhigh.hid.no with SSH and start a screen session. So, first thing, make sure you know SSH. You probably have either a laptop with Windows or Linux, or you have a Mac. So make sure you know how to SSH. So if you are on... by the way, to SSH, you need an account. What you do is, on Monday morning, I will give you, all of you, each a username and a password. And you will go, if you go here to Innleveringer, Handins, there will be a folder here, which you should access, and you will find a username and a password. I will publish a news about this in the room that you will see. So you'll get a username and password in Fronter on Monday morning, the latest. So use that username and password and say SSH, or on Windows you use PuTTY as the SSH client. My username is Eric H. So, and then at skyhigh.hig.no, like this. Then you will end up on a server. All of you will end up on the same server, and from this server you will be able to access and use SkyEye. This server has little bit of backup. That it, well, it's not, doesn't have any backup yet, but I will will have some backup routines installed on it. But I do not guarantee anything, so please make sure you back up your own data from this server. SkyEye is a nice cloud solution, but we do not guarantee any production level quality of it yet. We haven't had that much time to work on it to have a production quality, and we don't have any dedicated administrators on SkyEye. So that's it. This is what we're going to do. Then you use, these are the commands we're going to need to learn to solve this. Everything you need to solve these exercises, you will find the answer in this guide here. So when you log in, okay, you can say Nova help, and it will give you a long listing. I can pipe this to less. You'll see all the commands you can use. So I can say, apparently I can say Nova list active servers, Nova list, then you get this error. Because the first thing you have to do is create and source the OpenStack RC file. And figure out, go to the guide, you will see how to do it. You must create the file and source it. So my file is called OpenStack. There, this file includes access, my username, my password as a user in OpenStack. If I source this, then I have this username and my password as environment variables. Now I can list all the servers I have running. So that's the first thing you have to do. And then we go on doing all these exercises. I'm in Office A117. Come see me whenever you need help outside Mondays. But I hope I see most of you on the Mondays. And I'm really looking forward to this course. And I think that's basically it. See you all soon.